Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Yesterday morning, I started writing a teaching for today. But as I got about two-thirds of the way through the teaching, I knew the timing for it, well, wasn't right. So last night, I started writing a different teaching for today. This time, I finished about maybe three-fourths of the teaching, when I knew it wasn't for this morning either.
Oh, my.
So I did the smart thing. I went to bed. But before turning out the light, I said, Lord, show me what you want us to share Sunday morning. He led me to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, in the Classic Amplified.
In Acts 20, verse 24, in the Amplified Bible, it says, but none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained, from which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the good news, gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy.
When we read these first seven words, but none of these things move me.
It moves you.
It moves you.
It does.
And it's the scriptural basis of what we're going to share on today's call. Here are seven ways to thrive in perilous times.
Mm.
Number one, victory over your circumstances. Paul said, none of these things move me. The threat of prison, persecution, physical torture, even death, nothing moved Paul. As I read those seven words again, I knew this was a message the Lord had for each of us today. But none of these things move me. Our daily lives can be filled with uncertainty, wondering what will happen next, why certain things happen or didn't happen. Many people live in fear, sometimes real, but most often imagine because of what they think might happen. If for no other reason than the hysteria caused by the news media, that is definitely a factor. We need to always remember, the news is often driven by what builds television ratings or internet rankings. The truth is often hidden by a selfish desire to self-promote. Now don't get me wrong or get us wrong. Is there trouble in the world? Absolutely. Back and forth, Ebola, terrorist attacks of all different kinds. We have a lot of things. But see, here's the deal. None of it should be cause for alarm, but for prayer. Regardless of what we're facing or what other people are facing, our philosophy and spiritual direction should be, well, it should embrace the philosophy of Paul. But none of these things move me. If you lose your job, your family, your home, or your financial security, do not be moved by the world. Just the word of God.
In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible, says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?
None of these things shall move me because the Lord is our helper.
Amen.
We'll tell you there will be times when it seems that your circumstances speak louder than the word. But that's when you kind of hunker down, start praying through. In other words, you pray till you feel a breakthrough in the spirit. Allow the word of God to comfort and strengthen you. And yes, follow the example of Moses and what he said in the Amplified Translation, Hebrews 11:27, baby.
Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. When it comes to being moved by none of these things, we should also put a focus on Hebrews 11:32-34. This is what it says. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
You know, we realize that your money may be running out before the month does, that your bank account is financially anemic. Hallelujah. Just, we understand this. And your car and every appliance in your house needs repairs. Your spouse is being an unscriptural pain. Your kids may be in rebellion. Your body may be under attack. Your boss is never satisfied with your performance. But there is a big but. We have so much to be thankful for, and we can expect God to work out even the most seemingly impossible situations to His glory. To His glory, if we will, but trust Him. Hallelujah.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 says, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
You know, honey, that I just thought about this. That sentence, but none of these things move me, that is a great thing to personalize.
That's true.
But none of these things move David. But none of these things move Diane. Personalize that for you. So maybe even put it on your screensaver or whatever so you see it regularly. Number two.
Live an unselfish, not self-centered life. Paul said, neither do I esteem my life dear to me. In the King James Version, that verse says, I do not count my life dear to myself. Paul is not saying his life is not valuable. He's just saying it's not the most important thing to him, the self-life. Galatians 2, verse 20 in the Classic Amplified says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to, and reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Wow. Selfish people always put their interests above everyone else, including those closest to them.
You know, we have a dear friend who is intellectually brilliant. In fact, he's a member of the Mensa Society, which means he has an IQ greater than 125. In conversations, he will frequently say, let's get this conversation back where it belongs, on me. Of course, he says the comments are made in jest, but we both know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
In Romans 6:8, in the Living Bible, Romans 6, verse 8, it says, and since your old sin nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. The new life is where we're obedient to his divine directions and living our lives in accordance with the Word of God. Philippians 1, 20 through 22, Philippians 1, 20 through 22 in the Living Bible says, for I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that will cause me to be ashamed of myself, but that I will always be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I am going through all these trials here, just as I have in the past, and that I will always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die. For to me, living means opportunities for Christ, and dying, well, that's better yet. But if living will give me more opportunities to win people to Christ, then I really don't know which is better, to live or die. Interesting.
It is. You know, the safest place for a believer to be is in the center of God's will.
That's right.
God's will for their lives. To live otherwise is to place yourself in peril and subject to the will and sinfulness of man.
In Mark 8:35, it says in the Classic Amplify Bible, for whoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose it, the lower nature temporal life, which is lived only on earth. And whoever gives up his life, which is lived only on earth, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it, his higher spiritual life in the eternal kingdom of God.
In short, it's not about you. It's about him. When this scriptural realization becomes a reality in our lives, then he will be an ever-present help like never before.
Colossians 2, verse 6, Living Bible, says, and now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him.
Wow. That's a good scripture.
That's a lot to it.
Well, you can probably guess we're not going to finish this today, but we'll start on it again tomorrow. Yeah.
But first,
Sunday Night Live.
That's it.
We have, he's a protege of mine, Dr. Clay Worrell, and he and his wife, Felicia, an amazingly successful lady in the insurance industry.
Yep.
They're going to be doing the program tonight.
Hallelujah.
And we strongly encourage you to, you know, just to tune in and listen to what they have to say. You'll be blessed by it.
Amen, you will.
Because we're blessed by them. Hallelujah. Well, go to haroldherring.com if you've been blessed by the teaching. At the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed you need to sow. And until tonight at 6 p.m. or tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.